The forest is generally known as a lovely place to admire spring blooms, the variety of bird life, and of course, bugs. Earlier this week, scientists announced they turned up a very exciting bug. For the first time in 100 years, they found an entirely new type of insect. One of these bugs was well-preserved in a piece of amber about 45 million years old. The researchers speculated they might even find more living today in a bush somewhere. NPR's David Kestenbaum has that story and adds a curious tale about pigeons in this week's Science Wrap.
Oliver Zompro, a graduate student at the Max Planck Institute in Germany, was on a trip to England when a museum curator showed him a long-dead specimen no one had been able to classify. It was about the size of a paperclip, looked a bit like a praying mantis, but it had spines. Then a collector sent Zompro an ancient piece of amber. Trapped inside was what looked like the same bug. Researchers examined the bugs in microscopic detail and concluded they represented an entirely new branch of the insect family tree, a new order. Zompro and colleagues named it Mantophasmatodia.
It's really absolutely unbelievable to find a new order now. It was the last time, 87 years ago. Most specialists did not believe that there's still one order to be found. Actually, we have one.
Researchers discover 5 or 10,000 new insect species each year, but mostly they are variations on a theme. These new bugs, reported in the journal Science, have unique anatomical features. The authors say the bugs may have branched off, in an evolutionary sense, from the rest of the insect world 100, maybe 200 million years ago. One of the specimens had come from Africa. Zompro and an international team of 10 scientists went to see if they could find any living ones. A helicopter dropped them off in rural Namibia, and one night, a researcher shook a bush. A young insect, a nymph, fell out. Wow, what do they look like?
Yes, that was the other thing. There was a television team with us, and they expected something like these pictures we had already. But it was not big, it was not spiny, there were only small nymphs. And it was not really a party feeling, because most people seem to be disappointed that these specimens are so small and not really striking.
The team collected about 30 of them. The insects have now grown up. Spiny, colorful, browns with red spots. They dubbed them gladiators, for short.
Most times I spend sitting around, waiting for prey, or just sleeping, something like this, resting.
What do they eat?
Other insects. No, they just jump on them and keep them with the strong legs and eat them alive. It's not very pleasant to get caught by one of them.
Do they eat each other?
Yes. We had some losses in Namibia itself, and we did not have enough containers to put them in, and you must separate them.
All this makes some scientists wonder how many other creatures may be lurking in museum drawers, unexamined. Nils Christensen suspects the answer is a lot. He is chair of entomology at the Zoological Museum at the University of Copenhagen and an author on the paper.
It is not that we are not industrious and doing the best we can, but it is simply that there are so many species, there are so many specimens on the shelves of the museums, and there are so few scientists to deal with them.
Taxonomists, like some animals, are themselves an endangered species. There aren't many people studying bird flight either. Frank Heppner is one of the remaining few. He was recently struck by the fact that birds can fly in clouds.
Now, I'm a pilot, and if you lose your instruments while you're flying in clouds, generally you got about 30 seconds to live because you're almost immediately hit by vertigo, and you lose control of the aircraft, and by the time you come out of the cloud, you've probably stripped the wings off.
A recent study concluded that spatial disorientation was a significant factor in about 15% of major Air Force accidents. One typical training exercise for pilots is to spin them around in a chair to mimic the effects of vertigo. Heppner tried something similar with pigeons.
You put a blindfold on a pigeon, spin him around in this centrifuge, drop him out of the bottom of it, and in conditions that would have you puking in your guts and totally out of control for hours, they just go about their business.
Heppner has no idea at all how pigeons do that, but he hopes to find out and maybe discover ways to help pilots fly straight. Right now, he says, he's trying to convince someone to give him a lot of money to do more experiments with pigeons. David Kestenbaum, NPR News, Washington.
This is NPR, National Public Radio.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations and the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, helping all students to achieve by sponsoring small high schools and expanding access to higher education, GatesFoundation.org. The Robert Wood Johnson Foundation, working with a national coalition to seek solutions for the 39 million Americans without health insurance, on the web at coveringtheuninsured.org. And Rosalind Swig, for support of the NPR Fund for New Initiatives, helping to develop NPR's new programming and new media. This is NPR, National Public Radio.
It is time for you to stop on our pursuit.
In 1964, the Kinks did it like this.
Well, it's time for you to stop all of your sobbing.
Here, Jonathan Richman does it his way.
Yes, it's time.
Sunday on Weekend Edition from NPR News, a conversation with Ray Davies about new versions of Kink's gems. Join us.
Well, if there's one thing you gotta do.
I'm Corva Coleman. Coming up on Weekend All Things Considered, three veteran fiddlers teamed up with a young cellist to create an album they style Americana. Their music blends jazz and bluegrass with Cajun and African influences to create something a little bit old and a little bit new. Stay tuned.
I'm Craig Windham with these headlines. Tens of thousands of people protesting everything from U.S. policy in the Middle East to globalization held a peaceful rally in the nation's capital today, the protests tied to meetings of the World Bank and the International Monetary Fund. Israeli tanks and armored vehicles have begun pulling out of parts of Ramallah in the West Bank, but there have been new clashes in the Gaza Strip today. Israel says it welcomes the U.N. fact-finding mission, which will look into the assault on the Jenin refugee camp. The investigation of the Amtrak derailment in Florida is focusing on a fully loaded coal train that traveled the same tracks just ahead of the passenger train. A National Transportation Safety Board spokesman says the coal train might have thrown the rails out of alignment, at least temporarily. Four people were killed in the accident. I'm Craig Windham, NPR News in Washington.
This is Weekend All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Corva Coleman.